This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get
this is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Welcome to the Bart and Han Show. I am Bart Scott. He's Alan Han. It's 11 o'clock, and what a great day to be a sports fan. Tampa Bay wins. Alan's back. What up?
Headphones were dead. Can't stand when that happens, man.
It's all good, B.
You handle the business for me, though, right out of the gate, and I appreciate that. Go ahead, stay on it.
I ain't even giving a number.
Stay on it.
I ain't even giving a number. 1-800.
Are we flipping it? Shouldn't I do that now? Shouldn't I be like you?
Alan, what's the number?
800-919-3776. Got to stay with my chest.
And if they can't get us there, where else can they get us?
At Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram, and Bill will tell you everywhere else where we are.
Snapface, Instant Chat, or whatever it is.
All those different places, too. And you can slide into Bart's DMs. If you have any questions for the show, Bart always welcomes DMs.
Better be a
he likes
better.
Lower back dimples.
What they used to call that thing in the back? The stamp? We call it the stamp to be socially, politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a habitual line stepper, but there's certain lines I know not to cross.
Yeah, you had. You've done KJZ the last couple of days. I have to laugh. I love Zubin, and I love watching him squirm.
With a sweater vest?
Yeah, he's got that whole sweater vest thing now. He's got a whole collection of those.
That's his
right?
thing, man. I don't know. He must
have. Everybody's got a thing. He's
must,
got that.
It must have been a sale on him. He's like, give me one of everyone.
But every time you start to get into your mode, the Bart mode that I'm like, I poke the bear. Like, I want that Bart mode. I try to get that out of you every segment to see, all right, what am I going to say? It's going to trigger him a little bit, lets him get into his Bart in the locker room, ready to tear up the room kind of stuff. And when you start to almost like you're. Like, you know when you sit in a chair, you kind of like half slouch, but then you got something to say and all of a sudden the shoulders go back?
Yes.
When you do that, I look right at Zubin. Yo, he gets so nervous.
Oh, my God.
Like, you could see him just going, Key, help me, Key, don't let him go there.
I just got this job.
Yeah, we just got on the air, Key. Don't let this happen. Oh, that's great, man. So another early morning for you.
No doubt.
And a late night for us tonight as we've got Thursday Night Football, Giants and the Eagles. And we'll talk about a game in that division that no one seems to want to win. And the Giants, I'm telling you, Giants fans can say what they want about this team and the reality of this team. Yeah. But if you want to just – you've always said this too. We might not win this year, but we're going to take some people with us.
Exactly.
The Giants – Joe Judge has that kind of mentality. They could do
– They're fighting Joe Judges.
The Giants can absolutely cause some problems and take a few people with them.
And be a disruptor, right?
If I can't go,
you can't go either. You may get into the playoffs, Eagles. You may get into the playoffs, Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's not going to be because you beat the Giants. We're going to make sure that we make it difficult. And, you know, who knows? We might look up and look up after the quarter pole mark or the halfway mark or the three-quarter mark or whatever, the three-fourths mark, whatever you want to call it, and say, hey, well, we're right here. Why not just go ahead and get some experience and get in the playoffs? Or I wonder if fans want to lose because you will be winning. Listen,
Who wants to lose?
I'm saying as a fan.
That's what I want to know. If you're out there and you're a Giants fan, you want to lose. I need to hear from you.
Because you're telling yourself, even if we win, we're just the best of the worst. But if we lose, then we have an opportunity to improve our team with a good enough draft pick where we can get an impact player immediately. And that's really what it comes down to, and that's usually what organizations have to consider. Is the culture of winning more important than being able to get a premium player from a premium spot and giving ourselves flexibility to slide up and down the draft board if we're at a position and it's a player that somebody else may want where we can fleece them? This is going to be a unique offseason. It's going to be a unique time. We don't know where COVID is going to be in March.
Just punch it in the face.
Punch it in the face, but we don't know if it's going to punch us back. You know, we don't know where it's going to be in March when the draft are coming. So people might say, you know what, these draft picks mean absolutely nothing. I'd rather have draft picks and be able to fleece somebody to get players that I've already evaluated, that I've seen in the league on this level, because this season is so unique.
Well, we got some breaking news out of the NFL already.
Can't wait.
Shefty reporting this. And this is your guy, Yannick Ngakoue.
Yep.
Who you wanted to get from the Jaguars, yep, ended up going to Minnesota. You talk about another team that's looking to punt on the season? The, yep, Vikings have just traded him to the Ravens.
So now, see.
Ngakoue and Campbell back together again.
So it's great. It's great, right?
How about this, though? For a 21, for obviously next year's draft, third-round pick, and a conditional 22, I think it's a fifth.
Man, that's like getting a premium piece for 10 cents on the dollar. Now, here are the Jets. I would have said, you know what, Minnesota, you want my second? You know it's going to be pretty high. Like, I don't know, man.
But again, are the Jets in that place, though? The Jets are selling right now. They're trading people I never even heard of.
Yeah, but next year you want to be in that place. And if you can get a premium player for next year,
you got to pay him.
Right, that's fine. You got plenty of money. You're getting rid of everybody. So you got plenty of money. I just don't understand why the Jets or Giants weren't in the sweepstakes. Like, I understand that you see how quickly Minnesota got out of it.
Giants, that's a good question to ask about a Giants team that
their defense
has gotten better. They actually are getting to the quarterback this year.
Yeah, but they lost somebody too, right? They lost Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So, you got opportunity to get your pass rushers like the Giants have always been built with, whether it was O.C. Umenyiora, whether it was Tuck.
Hey, that's the foundation of the Giants.
Exactly.
It's always been defense, especially getting the quarterback.
And this is an opportunity to buy low. Like, this is like it's turning 2020, so all things 2019 are half off. They could have had an opportunity for both of our teams to get better and then say, you know what, kid, we'll give you all the money you need. I would have gave him the Leonard Williams money. If Leonard Williams want that money, I'm sorry. Well, we just got a player.
Yeah, we just decided to move on from you. Well, he's played well. Again, if you think about it,
he's got 45 sacks in 4 years.
The Giants are top 10, by the way, when it comes to getting to the quarterback. I think they're tied for ninth right now with 15 sacks. They put pressure on the quarterback. They do have that. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, if you think about it, I wonder if, I mean, Gettleman had to have at least, if he knew this player was available. You had to have looked into it.
How many people knew that he was available? That's the whole thing. Because like certain teams don't rock with other teams. Maybe Minnesota didn't want to trade with an NFC team to keep him within the division.
Fair.
Just like Jacksonville didn't want to trade him to an AFC team, so they sent them to an NFC.
What if Ngakoue said to them, "That's where I want to go"?
You know, who cares about you, Ngakoue?
You do the right thing for a player.
No. He just got.
We just traded for you, and now we're going to trade you. You don't talk to his agent though. You don't at least say that.
Hell no. Because you know it don't matter, right? Because guess what? You just got him. So essentially what he is, he's a one-night stand, right? He came there, was there for six nights, and you got rid of him. You was like, it was fun, it's been real, but you know what? I think I'm going home to my wife. And you sent him back. So that's essentially what they treated him like, because they came in and they say, yeah, your talent is good, but this team is a lot farther away than what we thought, so we don't have time to be investing $100 million into a pass rusher, because we got to figure out how we're going to get rid of Kirk Cousins' ass and how we're going to build this team with all these bad contracts we got. So sorry, thank you, sir. We're going to let you go. But the Ravens, on the other end, what does this mean for the Ravens? It means, one, that they're going for it, but two, it also means, because just guess what? This creates leverage for them to negotiate against Judon. Because Judon is on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
He's coming up next year. So now they got two defensive ends on a franchise tag. So what you have to do now is you just lit a fire under Judon. Like, listen, if you don't want to be here, we like him. Actually, we think he's better. But on the flip side, that means for the Jets that now Judon is available. But what I don't like is the fact that the Ravens keep putting all this money into their defense and not putting enough money into their offense. We heard the reports this morning that Antonio Brown may be available. He can start as early as week 9. They're the worst. They're probably the second best team in the conference right now, with the Steelers being better. So this is an opportunity again for the New York team to maybe get a player on a – you know,
The Jets I could see, because the Jets, I think, want to have as much flexibility as they can. They can always revisit this when he becomes a free agent, right?
He'll never get there.
You don't think so?
One of them will get there, but he'll never get there.
Why wouldn't he be a rental for the Ravens, and then they can decide, too, what to do between he and Judon? I mean, why wouldn't you
One of them are yeah. rentals. So they're not going to spend $200 million next year. One of them are going to go.
Okay, so then how can you possibly say he's not going to get there?
I'd rather get Judon. I'd rather get – because better player-wise, Ngakoue is a better player than Judon. But they're both up for the same amount of money. Because they both have the same resume, but one is a better player. One's going to get paid because he's just the next one in line. The other one is going to get paid because he's just he's slightly better. So whatever Judon get in Ngakoue should get more. You know what I'm saying? No different than Watson getting paid, good money, but then Mahomes like, oh, I'm better than him. You got to pay me more.
I just got a message from Jordan Renan, and he said to me, the Giants don't think Ngakoue is a great fit for their system.
Huh?
Yeah. That's what he said. He said that he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it, but that's something he said. It's something they believe.
I know how an athletic man looks.
That he's not a good fit for them, 3-4, and they don't
So he's not a good fit, 3-4.
You know what? I don't know.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Han? What system does the Ravens play? A 3-4.
Yeah,
so what the hell?
A lot of teams play 3-4.
So
the Eagles just played them, so it's a similar defense, actually.
So that's what I'm saying, right? So like, you got one team that thinks he's not a good fit, who we are trying to figure out, and then we have another team that has Super Bowl aspirations that think he's a great fit. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's right. I think I'll go with the team that's had the most recent success for $200 million.
Doesn't this also lead you to that same place again? Is like, where is Gettleman? Where is he?
Yeah, he's aggressive at the wrong time. He's aggressive to sign and trade Odell Beckham, but he's not aggressive when it's potentially a guy flying under the radar.
But you also saying something. You also said something too that I think is important, and that is that. What if he didn't know he was available? Which I find that to be like that's hard to believe. Teams get to a point where they're looking to just like get guys out.
Yeah, but you got to be working the lines, though. You don't know if things can be happening. You have no idea.
This is a bit of a surprise. Don't you think? I don't know. I got to feel like
I don't think Minnesota sent an email blast out and said
no, they don't do that.
Open.
But I got to feel like Did Minnesota basically go to the agent and say, look, we've got to start. We're going to get him out of here because we're not really winning. And let's get him out of here because he's a free agent. We're not going to sign him. So let's give him a chance to play somewhere where he can excel.
No.
Where would you like to go?
No.
It's the same. Well, didn't you say with Le'Veon Bell it was the same thing? They sort of worked with it. Did the right thing for Le'Veon Bell. We're not using you.
That's because Le'Veon is under a big contract. This guy is a free agent next year regardless. So he'll be able to pick where he wants to go next year. He's a rental. So it don't matter. So if you're a rental, I'm renting you to whoever wants to rent you is going to give me the best return on the investment. See, Le'Veon is under contract where he can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And somebody has to inherit that contract and take that contract on. This is a one-year. This ain't even a one-year. This is a nine-game rental.
No, I hear you. Now, who are you more upset at here? Would it be Gettleman or would it be
Gettleman.
Douglas?
For me, it's Gettleman.
Like you have
because
a, you
he can
have
win,
a,
he
listen,
can win
you have
a division.
You have a top 10 pass rush right now, which is a bit of a surprise, but you have one. It's top 10. Okay, you have that, and your pass defense sucks. It's one of the worst in the league.
Yeah.
You're good against the run.
Which is crazy. They get sacks, but they back
in. So think about it. Your offense is having problems. It's what, 30th in the league, right? So your offense has its issues. It's young. But your defense has played better than you thought it would. A move like this would then make your defense even better.
Tell me this.
In a division that everyone sucks.
It's wide open. Tell me this.
I'm a little surprised
tell
by
me
this.
Tell me
they
this.
Couldn't have known. You can't tell me that
that's
he
what,
knew and said,
saying.
We pass. I don't believe that. I know Jordan Renan said they don't think he's a good fit.
Tell me this.
There has to be more to this.
Tell me this. Last year, what was the Giants' record about this time? Pretty bad, probably, right? Right? They lost their first five games, right, last year?
Both teams were bad, yeah. It's when they made the move from Eli.
So, what did they do with their third-round pick from last year?
That'd be Leonard Williams.
So, you're telling me Leonard Williams is worth it? You tell me Leonard Williams is a great fit,
that's
a guy
really
that was underachieving with the Jets, but then a guy that has 45 sacks in 4 years and was a second-round draft pick that is 25 years old isn't a good pick? Isn't a good fit, but Leonard Williams is a good fit?
That's such a good point. That's such a good point.
So he couldn't have known. And if you couldn't have known, why do people hate you so much that they didn't pick up the phone like, hey, man, what's up?
Again, the question, is he connected? Like, does he know enough
people? Is he from the old school and these new school GMs don't rock with him that way because they don't know him like that because he's not politicking enough?
Renan knows the Giants inside and out. He knows the thinking.
Well, get
his
ass on, Renan. Don't be sitting there.
I just texted him to come on, and he said he's in a bad signal.
Well, get some aluminum foil, go to the top floor, and holler at your boys. Because I need to know. Because that makes no sense that Leonard Williams is a great fit, a guy who was underachieving for the Jets, who's pretty much a run stuffer, or has been a run stuffer, and then now a legitimate pass rusher is available, and you're in a division that you can win it with 5 or 6, 7 wins almost guarantees you the division, and you don't think he's a good fit. But the Baltimore Ravens, who play the same system that you play, think he's a good fit.
Your guy, Eric DaCosta, I mean, what a move this is. What an aggressive move.
And the thing I'm saying is, when we get to that point, Joe Douglas comes from that same school.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not time yet. But he comes from the same school, bro. Always working the lines.
So DaCosta had put out a statement, so they made it official that the trade is done. And he said that Yannick is someone who we are very familiar with going back to the draft process years ago. He's an exciting player and a dangerous pass rusher who makes us better.
So they ain't got to blitz
him. He's the type of person we welcome in our building. And then he said, finally, we're not finished building this team as we continue to chase our ultimate goals.
Because you have a cheap quarterback.
That's a great point. Right now, anyway, he won't be for long. I'll tell you what, like this to me is the thing that I can get why Joe Douglas is like, this is not the time for a move like that for us. This isn't the time. We don't do this now. Right? We're not at that place.
Right.
But if you're that's where I wonder, like, the Giants are the team that I'm really wondering here. Why wouldn't you make this?
Because they're ahead on their rebuild. They supposedly, with Solder, Thomas, Zeitler, Tate, what's the guy named? Shepherd.
Saying that he's not a good fit.
With 45 sacks.
So Patrick Graham basically said to them, we're all set. No, we're good. We're good. You telling me that? You telling me Patrick Graham, like, if they brought him if they had a conversation with him, you're any defensive coordinator, and this guy's available, and you're telling me that he would say, nah.
Well, third round draft pick.
Well, we're good. We're good. For a third and a conditional. The conditional is obviously if he signs. But
Leonard Williams is worth it. Absolutely, Gettleman.
And again,
don't
dump on Leonard Williams. He's actually played well this year.
I'm not. But what I'm saying is we're talking about the difference between an interior pass rusher and an exterior pass rusher.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
Now,
a good season for Leonard Williams is 7 sacks. A good season for Yannick probably is like 12, 13, 14.
Can I ask you, though, if there's something to be said about the fact that now in 3 years he's on his third team?
No.
Is it because the Jags were dumping salary and the Vikings were dumping salary? Is that all this is about? Is it just that nobody wants to pay him?
It's because he was a second-round draft pick, so he hit the market in 4 years instead of 5. Mm-hmm. And then he cussed out the owner because he don't want to be there.
Yes.
But he don't want to be there because he's seen Calais Campbell leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen A.J. Boye leave. He's seen Ramsey. So he doesn't want to be – yes, Fournette. He don't want to be there for the rebuild. He's like, no, I just want to go win now. Like, I've established myself in this league. I want to win. I don't want you to hold me hostage, so please let me go. So that's what that was about. And the fact that Minnesota is not about him. Mm. Minnesota is the fact that they thought they were one player away, one replace Everson Griffin pass rusher away to create with Danelle so that they can have that dynamic duel. And then they forgot that Kirk Cousins was who we thought he was, and we let him off the hook.
Imagine that, too. What a huge mistake there. Although they had some playoff games, they had a little bit of success, but obviously didn't turn into what you invested into it. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number on the calls on this. The Ngakoue trade in the NFL. Him going to the Ravens, that shakes the league right now, especially, obviously, the AFC. What that does in the AFC is really interesting.
And if you say
you definitely want to keep an eye on that. But if you're the Giants, like, if you're a Giants fan, how are you not in your head saying, wait, no, you don't? Like, he's
after
not
tonight,
a good fit?
Tonight,
how does that make any sense? Like, Lucky Lou on Twitter said, if Gettleman didn't know he was available, that's negligence on his part. Again, complete negligence. Got to go.
And I would think that Gettleman's third-round pick next year would be just a tad, just a tad, just a splash, Allen, higher than the Ravens.
You think? Only a little bit?
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that, you know, on a FanDuel or BetMGM. I'll take those odds.
Yeah, you take those odds. Well, I do think it's going to be slightly higher. But I also wonder, again, the idea that what Jordan said is that they don't see him as a fit. I'm trying to figure out, what's the issue?
Somebody's a liar.
Honestly, though, Bart, you know this stuff. What's the knock on him? Yes, he's great as getting to the quarterback, but are there other issues that he has that it hurts area? Is he bad in coverage? Like, what is?
No, it's no coverage.
Is he bad against the run?
It's no coverage.
I know there's no coverage. I'm trying to come up with reasons.
He sets the edge.
I know.
No coverage.
One job, right? He has one job.
Get the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's it. Set the
like,
edge.
Is he bad against the run? Is he not pursued? What's the issue with him then? What would inspire you to say, you know, we don't think
they may say, well, he played in a 4-3 and he had his hand in the dirt. Does that mean that he can't play in a 3-4? Because I can remember DeMarcus Ware playing in 3-4, 4-3, 4-8, whatever you want to talk about, sub, inside, whatever. Right? He still had that ability to stand up. So did they not do his research and think that he don't have the ability to have good enough hips? Because last I remember when I came in and Terrell Suggs was in, he had only been a defensive end his entire life. How did that work out?
Yeah.
Jared Johnson on the other side. How did that work out? Darius Thomas that was with the Ravens. How did
that
work
also,
out?
Wouldn't that also, too, you bring a guy like that in with that kind of talent, what does that do for the locker room, too? The guys in that front line are trying to go, so we're feeling pretty good about life.
Yeah, the guys are like, oh, let's go. Oh, we trying to get this. We need to step it up.
Like, okay,
let's practice.
So we're,
practice is intense. Like, oh, we trying to win. Like, and listen, it's one thing when the coach is talking about you want to win. It's another thing when management is like, oh, we trying to win right now. And I don't know what you're telling me. I told you I get whatever we got to get this dub. I don't care what you're talking about. So as a player, you're like, man, what?
I'll tell you what, for who? I would rather Gettleman tell people, like tell sources, they weren't going to deal with us. They didn't want him in the conference, right?
Please
something like
that.
They didn't want to. Like I'd rather hear that than basically Renan's what the people he knows
he's not a
tell
fan.
Him.
Well, damn it, change
your Odell to trade him.
Well, damn it, change your system then. Change your system. If he don't fit, then you need to change your system so he can't fit.
Oh my God! Interesting from Dan Graziano. He said with Matthew Judon and now Yannick Ngakoue, the Ravens have two pass rushers playing on franchise tags.
Yep.
They can't negotiate with either of them until the season ends, but will have first free agent crack at both of them once it does. Meanwhile, two talented, motivated guys. And we just asked a simple question. Is either of the New York teams should have been involved in this? I think the Jets aren't in that place, but I do think the Giants could be because their division sucks, and they've actually been really good defensively. I mean, again, their pass rush has been they get to the quarterback, they're top 10. Their pass defense is bad, so if you add a guy that can get to the quarterback and put pressure on him, and somebody you have to worry about, guess what that does to the pass defense? Bart, you know this better than anybody.
Yeah, it allows you to defend. And it also allows you to send another guy to help out those guys on the back end that has been keeping up their end of the bargain. You know, it's funny, man. Last year, like, and this is like what I'm talking about, you know, general managers that play chess instead of checkers.
Yeah.
Right, so last year, Eric DeCoste sent, I think his name was Kari Vidic, sent him to so he sent him to Minnesota, right? Minnesota then cut him and sent him to the Jets. The Ravens' compensation was a fifth round draft pick. Guess what?
But
the
Ravens, that fifth round pick.
Guess
for?
What? Everybody out there listening. That's
to Campbell.
Yes, exactly.
Come on.
So they turned the extra punter that they had in into Calais freaking Campbell, who had three sacks last week.
Oh my God! Even
and
if
then,
it's for
and
a
then,
year,
and then, right? And then Calais is signed. So they changed a fifth round.
That's right. They did sign Clay.
Yeah. So they turned a kicker, a punter, which they had extra because Sam
and
Koch
aren't even
been,
people.
And Sam Koch has been there since I was there. I played with Sam. They got the best skilled position players in the league with him and Tucker. So then they had an extra guy that they weren't going to use anyway that they were going to cut. Turned him into Calais Campbell.
So the responses we're getting on Twitter for the question, we'll get to the calls in a moment. I can't believe it. The local teams are saying no. The fans of the local teams are saying no.
Yeah, guess
I don't understand it.
Somebody's telling me they don't know football.
Like I get the Jets. The Jets, I agree. I don't think the Jets are there, and you know the Jets aren't really looking to win. You feel like though, when you can get a guy who's a top level edge rusher who sets the edge the way he does, get him when you get him, just so you have him.
Okay,
now that piece is gone. But I just feel like they could always do that in free agency if they want to. But yet,
so tell me this. So this is what I'm gonna say then, right?
Julian's saying that neither team's ready to win now. Have you seen the NFC East, Julian? Have you seen it,
Julian?
Garbage. It's available to you.
Julian, you don't just win the first year, and you don't just all of a sudden go from, you know, no wins to 11 wins. It's a process. So you have to build it the right way, right? So the Giants have always been known for having, you know, good players on both levels. They went out and they got Blake Martinez. Did you not want them to go get Blake Martinez because, you know, they're not ready to win now?
But you went and got him, right? Good.
So then you went out and got Bradbury, right?
Which is actually for Gettleman, that's a really good pickup. That turned out to be a very good pickup for Gettleman.
Right. So what are you missing?
Because you're missing the edge guy. Your interior is very good, too.
Because you got the defensive lineman in the draft. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You got Lawrence in the draft. So now
he's been good.
So it's about building pieces,
Leonard's been good.
So it's about building pieces. So now if you add a pass rusher, if you get into the passer now, just imagine if you add a legitimate pass rusher now that teams got a slide to him, and it's going to make the pass rushers that you already have that are playing well to help you get the 15 sacks get even more sacks because they're going to get more one-on-one matchups. So what are you guys talking about? Listen, I
don't get the Giants fans on this one. I don't get you at all. Now, the Jets fans, though, like Rob is saying, he's basically saying that a pass rusher is a premier position, and I believe the Jets have like 9 picks, can't spare one. It's fair. I'll give you that. It's fair. You're saying the same thing. It's fair. Joe Douglas, I mean, you know, you could have been involved in that, but I don't know, man. I'm the Giants. I'm looking at this division. I don't care what anybody says.
The division is here to take for whoever
wants to take it. And if you could beef up one side of the ball and put yourself in a top 10 in that position, you go ahead and do it and see what happens.
So let me play devil's advocate, right?
Winning is the best developer.
So let me play devil's advocate. Maybe Joe Douglas is saying, hey, with our roster and how we've been perceived nationally, if I spend a third-round draft pick on a player, he's going to see how far away we are. There's no way I can sign him in free agency. The Giants, on the other end, are in the middle of a playoff run.
Crazy.
So even nobody,
five.
Listen, I don't care about the number. What I'm saying is you're in a playoff run. So if you have the opportunity to bring in a player in and that player feels the energy and the love of being in a playoff run and everybody makes them feel good because, like, man, since you came, you've taken us to another level and it's still New York and you still have money to sign them, why wouldn't you do it? Because just like you took a risk on Leonard Williams, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And said and still couldn't come to a contract, what did you do with him?
That was bizarre.
You franchised him.
Yep.
So if you feel like you need another year to convince the kid to stay, franchise him again.
You'd have to explain this to me. I really don't get why. All right, let's go to James in California on Gettleman. Go ahead, James.
Good morning, boys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
You know, first of all, I want to say I appreciate you guys. I cannot listen to any sports over here in Cali, and I'm, you know, transplanted from Jersey, and I love ESPN New York. Got to listen to you guys every day.
We got you.
Han, you are incredible. And you working with the Koi Pond King over there. So, you know what I mean? Bart, we watched the show last night, and I said to my wife, I said, look at Bart on this right here. I said, I got to talk to him.
Hey, no doubt.
It's good to talk to y'all.
My pleasure, man. What you got on Gettleman?
Listen, he's outdated. He's outdated. This got to be the last year because that was the cheese on the taco, Bart, right there for the defense. Exactly. That was it. We get him on there, man, this division, we going to swallow it up.
Wouldn't you send a message? I mean, that would really be an interesting message to send to a Cowboys team that their defense is not good and their offense now without Dak looks completely different and they've got issues in the locker room. And then you have an Eagles team that they are just – everybody's hurt.
And then Washington,
everybody's hurt on that team. And Washington not even trying to win.
So
it's here.
Go ahead, Bart.
And what makes it crazy is the fact that we know just last year, same situation, not better players because you didn't have Bradberry, you didn't have Martinez, and you thought aggressively enough to go after Leonard Williams, and you still had a bad record last year. So how can you explain not giving up a third for a better player in a more premium position?
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. And like you said, Bart, you know, the other GMs, they don't want to mess with him.
I hope that's not the case.
I'm good talking to you guys.
Great to hear from you, James. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Remember James last year? I know he's gone, but remember last year, that's when Gettleman was boasting about the computers that he got. Maybe he doesn't know now that, you know, he's not in his office and he couldn't get to his computer fast enough, his Commodore 64, that the other general managers put out their tablets and put submitted.
He wakes up this morning, you've got mail.
Like, huh? Oh, I missed my message.
Scrolling through.
He turns to do not disturb on after 9:30.
I got bubbles on my damn screen.
So meanwhile, Eric DeCoste is like, oh, I'm on a road. But guess what? I heard he's available. Let me submit an offer with my thing that's called a computer in your pocket. It's called a damn iPhone. Gettleman's probably got a Nextel or a Razor flip phone.
Matt in Summit is back with us. Matt, what happened? We get you on the air. We call your name and we get dead air.
I'm sorry.
Brutal.
I apologize. But I'll say this. You guys, like the last caller, you guys are amazing. You know, ESPN is a great lineup, but you guys stand out. So I really, really appreciate everything you guys do.
That's a good comeback by you. That's a good recovery.
I know. I try.
Flattery gets you everywhere.
So I just want to talk about the PR job that Joe Douglas is going to have to do. And I'm going to tie in kind of what Bart was saying. And, you know, Sal Palantoni was on the prior show with Chris and Rick and Rothenberg. And, you know, I'm getting really concerned with this concept of, you know, his inability or the potential inability to attract talent. You know, you talk about Trevor Lawrence pulling a Peyton Manning, and Anthony Barr comes to mind.
Oh, wow.
He's going to have to demonstrate that he's in charge here. And the question that was posed to Sal about Adam Gase is the timing of his firing. And Sal's response was, well, do you think it's really his decision? And that's a fundamental problem here, and I'm really concerned about it.
If you think Joe Douglas is the guy that's going to fire Adam Gase, no, that's not how it works with the Jets.
Well, I'll say this.
Remember, they're on the same level. They both report to the owner. That's their hierarchy, which is, I've been against that for years, yeah. Matt. I think that's the worst type of setup. Now, other franchises do it, and it works fine for them. But this is a franchise where you're telling me that the owner, who doesn't know anything about football, really, other than basically just being around it, right? But he's not a football guy. The owner is the guy that's making these decisions. And, oh, by the way, you made a mistake with your coach, and you're the one that has to wear that. And as an owner, the first thing you should do as a leader, as an owner, is step forward and go, you know what? That's on me. I fell for it. Peyton Manning called me, and I got excited. This was the wrong thing to do. And for our franchise, I got to make it right. The CEO is the guy that has to fall on the sword. You don't pass it down the line and blame someone else, and he's not
Here's the issue, and the issue is that, you know, the Johnsons clearly are not football guys, and now the whole world knows it. And so the reason, if you're a free agent, you sign with the Jets is because you believe in what Joe Douglas is doing. And I appreciate the 6-year contract that Joe has, but I'll tell you this, as a fan, the clock on him started, you know, I'll go back as far as kind of Izik taking over for Tannenbaum. And the fan base has been waiting for a rebuild for years, mm-hmm. you know, and to go through kind of the duration. Look no further than the great, you know, Phil Jackson with the Knicks. I mean, you know, he came in with great hope and you know, it ended with pitchforks. So his long contract is not enough to stick him around, what I would say. But he really needs to sell. And I think the first thing is demonstrating that he's in charge. The second thing is demonstrating that he has a plan, you know,
Matt, I think him letting Le'Veon go was the first indication that he was in control, because I think that they did that so he can prove that he was in control and say, listen, if you're not going to use him, we're going to develop these other players. Why are we going to wait to next year to develop players that we want to evaluate and that we plan to use in the future in P-Ryan? So we might as well let him go. Right. And so I'm going to let him go. And listen, I don't care if we get compensation for him. You know, it's going to look good on our resume that we didn't try and trade him to a place for a 7th round draft pick. You know what I mean? So if you're going to get a 7th round draft pick, you might as well let him go. Right. And they let him go. So I think that was part of the PR job. Now it's Joe Douglas's role to try and show us what he can do. Now that he's going to have Quincy Enunwa money off the books. He's going to have Winners money off the books. He's going to have Jamal Adams money off the books. It's going to be a lot of money falling off the books. That's great. You got a lot of money, but then you got even more holes than you had in your roster this year coming up than you did coming into the season. So let's see how adequately he can fill those holes up. And the future starts now, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, like, because he's got that time, the trust in Joe Douglas to build this thing, the trust I don't have is in ownership letting him do it. letting him do it the way he wants to do the right way. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's the big news of the day in the NFL. The trade, Giants not involved. Giants play tonight. Week 7 begins. Giants-Eagles, Thursday night football.
Watch them struggle to get to the passer.
Talk a little bit about that.
Watch tonight they struggle to get to the passer. And oh, Carson Wentz runs
against
around.
That offensive line?
But I'm saying is Carson Wentz running around crazy and buying time. Like, oh, well.
Do you understand?
Like, get a pass rush, we'd be leading the division.
You understand that he's been sacked 25 times already this season. Like, if they don't get to the quarterback tonight, it's almost like they're boycotting.
Yeah, they're boycotting
something. You know what? If we get through Blitzer Prevent, we'll get to calls. You want to do it that way? Let's do Blitzer Prevent, yeah. And then if we get through it and have time, because we got Damian Woody at noon,
we'll
grab a couple more calls. We got a lot of people on hold. We want to get to as many of you as we can, and you hang in there, because we just kind of sneak in the calls when we can.
Yeah, yeah.
So be ready when we get to you, right?
I'll be out of Blitzer Prevent by 3 minutes. Let's go.
I like it. All right, let's see how fast we can do it. Blitzer Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, Bart, let's start in baseball. We'll get into World Series a little bit later on, too, because we got to discuss what happened last night. A-Rod wasn't happy about the Dodgers basically following the Yankees script, and what a mess that was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out. Now, all of a sudden, we have a series. It's Rays win 6-4, series tied. The World Series takes tonight off, obviously, because the football's playing. So they'll be back tomorrow with Game 3 on Friday. Meanwhile, Marcus Stroman, the Mets pitcher who's going to be a free agent this offseason, who opted out, by the way.
Yeah, don't even call him Mets pitcher. He opted out.
I guess.
Marcus Stroman.
So he goes to social media to make a case for himself to join the Yankees. In response to a post that said Stroman would be the steal of the offseason, he replied that he would be at least the Yankees' third best starter in 2021. This is what he said. Besides Cole, there's no current Yankee pitcher who will be anywhere in my league over the next 5 to 7 years. He said their pitching always folds in the end. That lineup and payroll should be winning World Series left and right, yet they're in a drought. LOL. When he was reminded about Luis Severino, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's eventually going to return from injury next season. Stro did admit that he forgot about him, but said, when healthy, he's unreal. One of my favorites to watch, Cole and Severino. There's still spots in the staff that need help. Am I wrong? So, Blitzer Prevent. Stroman opted out, as I mentioned. His 2019 numbers, by the way, with Toronto and the Mets, his ERA-wise, second only to Cole. But if you use WHIP as an indicator, he'd be fifth behind Cole, Tanaka, Montgomery, and even Hap. Jay freaking Hap. So if you're moving from Paxton, let's say they do, is Stroman a better play, or do you go all in on Trevor Bauer, who, by the way, led the NL in ERA and WHIP this year?
I'm going in on Trevor Bauer, and I just don't want that type of attitude. You know what I'm saying? In a Yankees uniform.
Stroman's a Long Island guy. We got a little.
Yeah, problem. It don't match up. He can go to the Mets, but he opted out of that. He didn't know Cole was gonna get that. He didn't know he was gonna get that money. I know he tried to force his way out of Toronto so he can go to the Yankees.
Right.
But you don't always get what you wish for. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know if I would take the risk. I'd rather go Trevor Bauer.
He's a righty. I still think you need a lefty, but Stroman's not a bad. He's had moments, and then he's a guy, though, that looks so good, and then all of a sudden just
like crap.
Fall to pieces. Yeah, it's just amazing. But I like his attitude, though. Again, he's a Long Island guy, so I can't root against him. But I found it interesting that he would be that aggressive about how the Yankees always fold.
Sounds,
and they should be winning, and they're
sound
not.
Sound thirsty.
Maybe. That's a good point. All right. To football. So one day after the Dolphins moved Tua Tagovailoa to the starting quarterback position, which we knew. And Ryan Fitzpatrick said all the right things about how he's going to be great and, you know, all that stuff. Now he's saying the timing of the move, quote, broke my heart. Take a listen to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
My heart just hurt all day. Like, it was heartbreaking for me. Flo kind of said what he said and said what he said to you guys as well. And that's the decision and the direction that the organization is going in. And obviously, you know, we've talked in the past, me and you guys, about, you know, how I'm the placeholder and this eventually was going to happen. No matter, it was just a matter of kind of when, not if. And it broke my heart yesterday. And, you know, it's a tough thing for me to hear and to now have to deal with, but I'm going to do my best with it.
He also said there's a lot of stuff going through his head, not necessarily about the team. Like, is this it? Like, was that my last game as an NFL player in terms of being a starter and going out there and playing?
Yes.
I mean, dude, he just told you recently about how when he left the Jets, he thought that was it for him. When he left the Bills, he thought that was it for him. He was ready to retire and then came out of retire because the Bucks needed somebody. So, dude, like eight
how many encores
teams,
you want?
16 years, exactly. You know, and he survived two with the Jets. Even he has marveled at his own staying power.
He's made $71 million.
So, Blitzer Prevent, like, is this a bit over the top, even for him? Like, you understand, you feel the end of your career.
Prevent. I'm not going to be sitting up here whining for a dude to play for every team in the league, damn near play for every coordinator ever in the history of football, and then and Dan's going to cry and he makes $71 million. Come on, man.
All right, we prevent that. It's a rare one. All right, last but not least, another year, another chance for the insufferable, yeah, I said it, Antonio Brown. Adam Schefter reporting that with his suspension eligible at the end after week 8, some teams are looking into signing Antonio Brown. The Seahawks sound like a leading candidate, though there are others. Remember, Brown was suspended 8 games without pay for multiple violations of the league's personal conduct policy, which includes an investigation into an accusation of sexual misconduct and some other stuff that's going on with him as well. He pleaded no contest to a felony burglary and battery charge.
Fifth.
And two lesser misdemeanor charges as well. And he's also had some character issues. He's done some stuff where you're like, is he okay?
Is his mental health where?
Yeah, and yeah. Is he okay? Like, not to make a joke of it, but that is something like we felt. Is he okay? So, with this in mind, and by the way, there's also the news, as you mentioned, Dez Bryant, who never gets in any trouble and still is out of the league. The Ravens are looking into maybe adding Dez Bryant. So, Blitzer Prevent. Seattle already has a potent offense. And oh, by the way, they have Josh Gordon on IR waiting for his reinstatement in the NFL. After all we've seen from AB over the last few years, do you think he's capable of contributing to an NFL team again?
Well, he contributed for the one game that he played with Tom Brady. He still, you know, is one of the best receivers in the game. And if they got Flash Gordon on the outside and you got Metcalf on the outside, you imagine him being in the slot where you can't put your hands on him.
Yeah, but again, you're saying that, like, all the other stuff doesn't exist.
You think about the organization and leadership. And
he was in New England with Tom Brady, but they got rid of him.
And Tom wanted him back even after they let him go. Tom's like, why'd y'all do that? I still want him. Right? So, you know, it's to tell the two bills, right? You know, one bill is aggressive and then, you know, conservative. And then, you know, when he went after Kraft, and that was a deal breaker. But, you know, it's low risk, high reward, because what happens if he is who we believe him to be and he got himself together? And if not, you just cut him. It's a week-to-week deal, buddy. It's a week-to-week deal. All I need you to be is to be good for 6 weeks, get us to the championship, because guess what? Russell Wilson may not be able to do it by himself when you're thinking about, you know, what's going on with that defense. That defense is god-awful.
Yeah, they got to outscore it. Or they just have to outscore their own defense. That's what they've
got to
do.
They're the Houston Rockets.
All right, 800-919-3776. Quick call here. Gerald in New Jersey. Go ahead, Gerald.
Yeah, I listen to you guys about almost every day. I'm a first-time caller, and I really like you guys' show.
Thank you.
First of all, I agree with you know what you guys were saying about the Cowboys and how, you know, the defense is, like, you know, not communicating, and you could actually see it. I mean, I'm watching it on TV. I coach myself, so I can actually see it. And, you know, tape don't lie, so I agree with you guys with that. But now with the Giants and the Eagles game, I think it's a big game for both teams. I mean, I really think that the Giants are – and I'm talking as a Giants fan, so I am a Giants fan, but I see them – starting to click a little bit. Now, I'm not going to get too far, you know, like a lot of Giant fans will probably do, but I really see them trying to click now, and I think they're at a moment now where they can actually win this game tonight. So, I mean, I guess we'll see, but my hopes are, you know, pretty high right now from what I've seen from the last couple of weeks, minus that 49ers game.
I mean, this can be something like where it sends one season going one direction, and another team going another direction. Like, we've seen that before. Like I said before, I can remember.
I think it's more devastating to the Eagles if they lose, not the Giants.
Right.
The Giants know that they're kind of building, but if the Eagles lose this game, it is devastating.
Yeah, but the Giants have hope. And if, you know, you don't want to crush hope, this allows you to get maximum effort, maximum focus from your team when they feel like, man, we're still in it. It's November and we're still in it. And then they continue to play hard, because this season is going to come down to a battle of attrition, because people end up getting hurt, and that's what happens. And, you know, if you got a healthy 11, that could be enough to get you over the finish line.
Great point. All right, let's do more of this in audio files.
the audio file.
Later in the show. Speaking of the Giants and the fact that they are playing the Eagles, who they haven't beaten. I think it's 7 in a row they've lost to them, 10 of the last 11 or something like that, or 9 of the last 10.
It's up there.
And overall, they haven't beaten Dallas or Philly. It's like 0-14 against their two division rivals. Logan Ryan, new to the team, but understanding of the history, says he's not concerned about that stuff.
You know, it was my first time here, and I know we lost 11 of the last 12 or whatever that may be, but that has no, you know, significance to this one. You know, I don't really, streaks all come to an end. I remember when I got to Tennessee, there was not one good streak ever. Like, we lost this man to Indy and never beat Andrew Luck and never beat this and then the AFC Championship. So I really don't care. It's going to come down to me and Carson Wentz and the Giants and the Eagles and everyone else out there who's playing a game. So I love, you know, salute to Brian Dawkins and Strahan and all these guys, but they're not going to help us out there today. Are out there on Thursday night. We got to go out there and execute and do what Joe Judge asked us to do, and they're going to do what Doug Peterson asked them to do. And we're going to see, you know, may the best man win, the toughest man win. And I think that we're pretty tough, and I think we're going to go out there and try to, you know, it's Thursday night. You know, nobody feels great. My body's not going to feel great, but I'm going to go out there and will it, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, nice. That game tonight again, 8:20. It's Fox will have the broadcast.
You hear that, though? Brandon is starting to sink in. We're a tough team. Tough. That's what happens. When you start saying something enough and it's a point of emphasis, your players start regurgitating it without them even knowing that they're saying it. It's like that subliminal message that just stick in your head. Man, Joe Judge is starting to do some Jedi mind tricks. I see it happening.
You got to see, yeah. I mean, that's what he's trying to do there, plant those seeds and then let it grow into something, and that's why you want to see if they can have even just a little bit of success. Be curious to see what this team can do in such a bad division. Meanwhile, Odell Beckham Jr., who, as we told you the other day, said that COVID would never enter his body. It just has an understanding with him.
I punched COVID in the face.
He's trying to be cute, but obviously not.
Yeah, he can't.
But there's more to Odell, though, that he's been talking about, which includes how people, you know, how he gets upset on the sideline and he has these outbursts and people react to him. Here's what he said.
I'm pissed, and at this point, I really don't care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy into the world and all that shit, because I am who I am. I got pulled out of the game. The coach said this was the best decision. It's 8 minutes left, and for me, I'd rather take my over like a man. I'd rather take my win the same way. I want to be out there to the last whistle competing. I'm kind of over trying to play the right thing because, you know, I love them to death, but there's people who have plenty of rings and consider the GOAT, and they do things on the sideline and they get away with it, and it's classified as passion because they may have something behind their legacy or whatever it is. And to me, bro, we love this that much, it means that much.
Newsflash, Odell. Life isn't fair. Sometimes perception can become reality. And the fact that you have these kind of hiccups in front of the public eye, understanding that you did a great job in marketing yourself, but the issue that comes along with that, making yourself such a high profile person, when you speak, people listen, when you do things, people watch, and they're going to have an opinion about it. If you didn't want that to happen, you could have been like Mike Trout. You could have just been collecting your check and not saying nothing, and nobody would have took interest in you. The fact that now 8 scholarships are gone because of LSU, because you wanted to splash for the camera and be
that?
Yourself
well,
and not be a good guy and give up
like
$2,000.
Third level, though, is they were going after the booster that was giving guys jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
What Odell did was a small part of it, but he's a name, so they put him in. They put him as part
my
of
point.
The,
and why do you think his name was put there instead of the booster? Because he's Odell Beckham. You have to understand who you are and the weight you carry. And instead of using it for stuff that we can come on Sports Talk Radio and criticize, use it for something that we can say, man, look what this guy did and put you on a pedestal. Understand the power and the influence that you have specifically, Odell. You can't blame anybody. Listen, I never understood why Tim Tebow gets more opportunities than anybody to say, hey, I want to play baseball. Hell, I want to be a professional bowler. Will somebody put me on the tour today? No. But I can't get mad at Tim Tebow because, you know, because he has a following, and whatever he does, he's going to get attention with it. That's just what it is. I'm not him.
Professional bowler.
I did. Pete Weber III, baby. My hero.
Last but not least, Stan Van Gundy was hired by the New Orleans Pelicans to be their head coach. So he's back on the sidelines. Now, we'll see if Jeff gets the job in Houston. But Stan Van Gundy is hired by the Pelicans. It's an interesting hire, and I'll explain what I think of it in a minute. But here's Woj with SVP on the hire.
David Griffin, the executive VP in New Orleans, did not know Stan Van Gundy very well before this process started. They've both been in the league a long time, but just didn't have a relationship and spent a lot of time here over the last several weeks getting to know each other and talking through a lot of things about what New Orleans wanted for that roster and what they wanted for that team was a teacher. And you have a combination of some very talented young players, obviously Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and down, but you've got Drew Holiday, you've got J.J. Redick. This is a team that can make a jump into the playoffs. That was important, his ability as a teacher, but also how good defensively Stan Van Gundy's teams have been through the years. And those were all part of the conversations that he had with David Griffin. And they talked a lot about how Stan Van Gundy might do some things differently this time in a different time in the league as head coach.
That's the key part there, Bart, because as I said this to you when we were talking off air before, you asked me, like, why would they hire him? And that's why you had Alvin Gentry, you had an older experienced coach. They weren't going to go with a young coach because they have a young team, especially with Zion. So the point was you want somebody in there that's been there, that can coach up a team, that can teach, but also isn't going to get out coached on the sideline because of his inexperience. So Stan fits those. He checks those boxes. Now, he has to change his ways. He knows it because of obviously his relationship and the way things melted down when he was in Orlando with Dwight Howard. And that was real. Like, I was there that day. That was the weirdest thing to see, that whole thing break down. So you have that. And then on top of it, you have Zion, who isn't the same person as Dwight. But that is something to watch, how Stan can coach Zion. Because in the end, that's all that matters. You've got to make that kid a superstar. And the one thing you got to do, and I'm going to say it, is you got to make him willing to work. Zion, like Dwight, relies a lot on his own physical talent and gets away with it and has always gotten away with it. That's going to catch up to him in time. And they're trying to convince him that why wait for it to catch up to you? You wonder if Stan can reach him. That's the thing to watch. Nothing else is going to matter if he has to reach Zion Williamson.
I mean, you talk about, you know, Dwight was a different personality, especially, you know, he started feeling himself a little bit.
Yeah, but that happened. Yeah.
But then I go to Detroit where Stan was before, and his relationship with Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. Drummond, who's a quiet guy, who's meek and soft-spoken, but the same issues that Zion had, you know, with the weight issues and being able to become a professional conditioning. He has to tread lightly there. Because Drummond was the better player, but Zion's on a different level as far as his stardom. You know what
You've got to be connected. Your stars in the NBA, if your coach and star are connected, then you are absolutely going to win. But if that doesn't happen, then you're not going to last. And we'll see if Stan can do that in New Orleans. I love Stan. He's smart. He's a great coach. But personality-wise, how he deals with players has always been something that people have kept an eye on. So we'll see what happens there because it's very important to the league for Zion to become the star that everybody hopes he becomes.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, we'll make our picks. We'll do the rest of them tomorrow, but we'll make our pick because the Giants are playing tonight. So it's Eagles, Giants. Eagles are laying 4.5 at home. And Bart, I'll make it quick and make it easy. I'm taking the Eagles here.
Do I even need to talk? Because that's kind of where I'm going as well. I mean, I just think
well, you
got to
make it official.
Well, I'm going to take the Eagles as well. I just believe that the Eagles have faced the stiffer competition the last couple of weeks, even though they mm-hmm. haven't been able to get the win. They played the Ravens tough after coming out in a big deficit, being down like 21 points to be 1 2-point conversion from tying it. And mm-hmm. then the week before that, they played the Steelers well. Now, right. This is the issue. Both teams have great run defenses, but Miles Sanders won't play tonight. So I'm trying to figure out, are we going to see a lot of Jalen Hurts today as far as some type of Wildcat type of Taysom Hill type of role, because they have to find a way to generate some yards on the ground. They have to be creative.
Turnovers are key because both teams will turn it over. Wentz has had issues, obviously, 9 interceptions. Daniel Jones, we know he has 6 picks and 3 fumbles. He's got that issue. And both teams get after the quarterback. You know, both teams are giving up a ton of sacks. So, you know, a lot of that stuff. Oh, this could be a sloppy game. It could be one of those crazy games. So
too bad
it always usually is on a Thursday,
game.
Right?
Too bad
So
games.
We'll see. Yeah. Two bad teams trying to play for the division. All right, but we'll put our daily fantasy team together based off this game, and what we've got is Carson Wentz will be our quarterback, our MVP. Hmm. Boston Scott's going to get a lot of now reps because of the Sanders injury that you referenced, so we'll take him as well. Darius Slayton's been terrific for the Giants, so we'll take him. And Devin Freeman. And then Travis Fulgham has been a nice player for the Eagles, man, and we'll grab him as well.
Man, he's been lighting up the scoreboard, yeah. Man. Touchdown at the touchdown at the touchdown, taking advantage of the fact that Rieger isn't around.
Yeah, so there's our team. We'll see how we do. But the picks, I think, again, the 4.5, I think, you know, Eagles, just all the reasons that you said, you just sort of believe in the fact that they have been very competitive for the most part. But it's, and the Giants just struggle, especially in Philly. Now, no, there'll be about 6,000 people, I think. Right? There's going to be a small amount of people allowed in the building at the link, but
don't know if it'll make it, but
whoever it is, you know, they'll still make it uncomfortable for the visitors. It always seems to be a thing.
Better have the jail open.
It's always something, right? That's what's going on. It'd be very interesting to see. But we'll get into the Jets tomorrow because there's a very interesting take on the Jets about the comparison of how bad, historically bad, this team is compared to one of the previous historically bad teams. And that would be, of course, the Rich Kotite era. And Keyshawn Johnson had something interesting to say. We'll discuss tomorrow. All that tomorrow. Enjoy the Giant game tonight. Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
Holla. Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.